Now, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 36. And we go there because, once again, as it was a couple of weeks ago, I had my day planned and was going to study and prepare a message like I do every Wednesday. And again, I got a phone call that changed all of that. And nothing tragic, okay, don't worry about it, but just some things that came up that I needed to tend to. And I would love to stand up here and tell you, so the Lord has laid upon my heart a message out of Psalms chapter 36. But then I would be lying to you, and that wouldn't be good. So we're going back to 2004 tonight. These are notes from 2004, and I think that God will bless it. He knows I wasn't out playing golf and chasing around, doing my thing. I was taking care of things that need to be taken care of. So Psalms 36, now when we talk about judgment or the word judgment comes up, there's a lot of things that come to mind. It's used in a number of different context in the Bible. When we think it could be a reference to judgment, can be a reference to catastrophes or calamities that are brought to the earth or afflicting the people on the earth, presumably by the hand of God. Are all calamities God's judgment on the earth? No, it's the earth and groaning, as the Bible says it, awaiting for its redemption, just as we await our redemption. Okay, but we can kind of equate those things to judgment sometimes in our minds. It could also be a reference to dealing with the sins of mankind. Does God judge the sins of mankind? Absolutely, and the Bible teaches that. So that might come to mind. It could be, when we think of judgment, it could be speaking of that hour in the end times when every man or woman or child has to stand before God and answer for what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, in fact, judgment, okay? But I prefer tonight in these notes to look at it from the standpoint of God's corrective hand in the life of his children, okay? And it that the word judgment might come across as harshness when we think of it that way, but not necessarily, okay? God can have a gentle hand of judgment and correction just as well as he can have a firm hand. Most of it depends on our response and our reaction, okay? And so we're not looking at this in a penalizing sense of God judging our sins, because we're forgiven of our sins, okay? And so it's not a penalizing thing like it would be for a lost person, that kind of judgment, but rather in a disciplinary sense. The sense of God coming to us and, yes, dealing with our sins, but it's more in a hand of correction and disciplinary to cause us to do better, because we're his children, okay? And the term that the Bible uses often is chastisement, which simply means correction, okay? And so with all that being said, I just want to read one verse, and there's a little portion of six words in the middle of that verse in Psalms 36. And it says this in verse 6, "Thy righteousness is like the great mountains, thy judgments a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast." Okay, right there plugged in the middle of that verse is our text. It says, "Thy judgments are a great deep." Now, when you think of the great deep, and this is what this is a reference to here in this psalm, it's a reference to the oceans. When the Bible is speaking of the oceans, it's speaking of the vastness of it, the depth of it, the overwhelming and beyond our comprehension nature and characteristics of the deep. I have not very much experience with the ocean, okay? I've been on a cruise ship, that was enough for me to, in the sense of, to get out there when you're in the middle of the ocean, and any direction you look, you can't see land. And if you're out there at night, that was the most haunting part of it for me. It was on the top deck at night. looking in every direction, no land. The only lights that you see would be those of other ships. And then look down, and, you know, seven stories down, you see the white caps, and it's just a very intimidating thing. It's really all you can see is the white caps kind of being caught in the lights of the ship, and it's just it's kind of a sobering experience for a landlubber, if you will, like myself. Okay. When you consider the millions of square miles of nothing but water in the oceans, it's the thousands of feet deep in some places that the ocean is. It's just really unfathomable. Okay, and in God's judgments, His workings in our life, His corrective actions in our life are somewhat the same way. They're unfathomable a lot of times. We can't totally grasp them. We can't totally understand them. It's beyond our comprehension, okay? God allows certain things in our life that we just can't understand, but that doesn't mean they're bad, okay? If God comes to us with a judgment or a hand of correction or discipline, it's for our good. And so certain difficulties may come to our life. It could be trials. Quite frankly, it could be devastating trials. Things that turn our world upside down. A hand could be dealt to us that may be really seem overwhelming, and we can't understand why this is happening to us. And it could be as much as losing a loved one. It could be a tragic health issue or accident in our own life. It could be the betrayal of a friend, the loss of a marriage. It could be any number of these things. There's things that we couldn't in our wildest dreams imagine were going to happen to us, okay? It's unfathomable, if you will. And God, we may question at those times, why is God allowing this to happen to me? And the answer is because He's Lord, and He's our Father. And by being our Father means that we belong to Him, and He loves us, but His being our Lord says He's the authority and He can do anything He wants, okay? And it's so His wisdom is infinitely above our wisdom, and His judgments are far more intelligent and eternal than you and I can wrap our mind around, and it's more than we can grasp. And so these things are not weighed out by God flippantly. He's not just throwing some things at us. These are things that He's done with discretion and with His infinite wisdom to for our best interest, to care for us in a way that's best, okay? And it's not always going to be understood. But keep in mind, because we don't understand it does not mean that it's disorganized or chaotic. It's not. There's method to what He's doing, and we have to accept that. He may be orchestrating these events in our life for great things to happen down the road. We just don't know, okay? And so we just can't rely on our own judgment. We trust that God's judgments are deep. They're unfathomable. We just have to accept them, okay? And then the second thing about God's judgments being a great deep, if you will, is that there is safety in them. There's safety in them. Now, an inexperienced person may presume that there's more safety in shallow waters in the ocean. But the truth of the matter is, a good sailor will tell you that most of the danger is in the shallow water. And the safest place for the ship or the sailboat or whatever it is out in the deep, away from the shoals and the quicksand and the rocks and the things that could be run upon, you see. There's safety out there. There's more opportunity for danger or disaster in the shallow waters for a person that is sailing, okay, than there are in the deeps. And because the ship is resting high above the things that could wreck it. It's high above the land masses and these sort of things, okay? Now, that's hard to imagine, and it's hard to accept that that's true, but it's the same way in God's hand of judgment in our life. The shallow things don't always get our attention, right? the little insignificant or minor things or little snags, they don't really cause us to reflect. They don't really cause us to evaluate and cause us to get serious. It's when we get in some deep things in our life, some deep issues, deep difficulties, deep trials that bring us low in our circumstances and cause us to look hard at our lives and look hard at God and what He means to us. And it's those things that will cause us to recognize maybe perhaps the peril that our life has been in and the impending consequences if we don't make some changes and this sort of thing. And when we're in the deep, it takes care of our pride a lot of times. When we're in the deep, we're humble and we're calling out to God, and the winds of temptation are not so easily yielded to when we're in the deep. We're more spiritually alert. We're more attentive to our faults and our weaknesses, and on and on and on these things go in the deep, okay? When we are going through things that really, really are trying and difficult, the adversities that we're calling that are deep, we begin to seek God and hunger for Him, and that's good. It might be that the valley is very, very deep and a long ways across, but if it causes you and I to seek God, and I'm not talking about seek Him in a bedtime story type manner, I'm talking about seeking Him to know the deep truths of His Word, to know that, you know, more about Him and understand Him, to cry out to Him, to get a hold of some things that will anchor our soul. These are the things that come when we're in deep difficulties, okay? And we just learn to lighten our grip upon the world and tighten our grip upon God. And our desires and our hunger for temporal things become less, and our desires and our hunger for eternal things become more. And all of these, all of this is good, okay? And so there's a lot to be accomplished in the deep. And the third thing I want to look at, and we're going to look like we're going to get out a little early here. The third thing I want us to see is God's judgments are a great, great deep in the sense that they conceal great treasures. You know, there's countless precious treasures below the surface in the ocean, all across the world. Treasures that have been lost by various shipwrecks throughout history and over the course of many, many centuries. But then there's also great treasures of natural origin. The oil that's beneath the surface of the ocean is so vast we could never exhaust it. The simple things like pearls. There was a time in ancient times, it's not so much now, that was the most priceless, the most luxurious of all gems was a pearl. More so than gold, even, in ancient times. Now, again, it's different now. But that's what lay beneath the surface, okay? So things that are of immeasurable, if you will, value, remain hidden beneath the ocean until somebody discovers them. Well, if we're in the shallow, we would never discover them. But when we launch out into the deep, it puts us in a position to find some great treasures in our life, okay? If with God working in our life as His children, when we're doing His business and His business takes us out into the deep, deep trials, deep difficulties, then being launched out there could cause us to discover some great treasures that we never would have found on our own, okay? It may seem, the deepness of our difficulties may seem to be of no benefit to us because they're way below the surface at times, and they can't be seen with the naked eye. But God has placed some sort of eternal value in what we're going through. Not, you know, we might not be able to see it and grasp it and understand it, but there's eternal value to the trials that we're going through, and we don't know the timing of finding that treasure. That treasure may come next year, next week, or it might not come till we get into heaven in eternity, but there is treasure to be discovered there, and God's not constrained by time. He don't run off the clock like you and I. He may do something right now in our, there may be showers come in our life right now that are going to benefit us next spring, okay? That's the way he works in our life. There may be things that happen in our life right now at this moment that benefit us 2 years down the road when we're in a different position, okay? We just don't know. It may come in an entirely different season than what we think. But that's the way treasures are found. They're discovered most of the time. Most treasures are discovered without searching for them. They've been discovered by happenstance, if you will, in the ocean is what they tell me or what I read, okay? And so a deeper faith in God, a deeper trust, greater compassion towards those who are going through difficulties on their own, a greater perspective of eternity, these are all treasures. These are all blessings. These are gifts. Whatever it is, there's eternal value in it. And so what we have to do is when we realize that God's hand of correction is upon our life, we have to think about what is it that I can do? First of all, what is it? The main thing is, what is he trying to show me? What do I need to learn from this? What's the lesson? What in my life needs to be changed? What needs to be corrected? Okay, that's the reason for the correction, is because he wants us to get to correct those things. But beyond that is, okay, how can I use this for my benefit and God's glory going forward? And those are when those things begin to arrive to you and I, is when you and I begin to seek God in the trials, crying out to him, if you will, in the deepness of our difficulties, and allow him to bring the great depth, if you will, that he wants us to receive from that, okay? And again, it's not a shallow water that's going to bring that to us, okay? You leave here and you have a flat tire. That's not deep troubles, okay? That's not deep difficulties or trials. It's the when you get out there and it's something that is treacherous and a little bit scary and it's a little bit dark and you don't understand it, you're not fathoming what's happening to you, those are the things that bring about the great treasures in our life, okay? So the next time you find yourself in the deep, don't necessarily jump on the lifeboat, okay, and try to get out of it. Let God show you what he wants to show you, okay? Appreciate you. That was a little trip to 2004. I can't promise you anything because I don't know what next Wednesday holds, but the plan is to be back in Matthew. And Linda was sharing with me the other day. She keeps tabs on all of this. We're just starting our fifth year. Is that correct? Or we finished our fifth year? 2019. Okay, so yeah, that's 5 full years. Wow, it's hard to believe. We've been in this 5 years, okay? So probably got 6 or 7 years left going there. I mean, we're just already, it goes to chapter 28. I mean, my goodness, we're just in 21, so who knows? Okay, let's stand. At this rate, if I keep this happening, we'll never get done with it. But I promise you, I was not out playing golf. It was one of those deals, and I don't know why it's happened twice in the same month, but it did. So, Jeff, lead us in prayer, please.